Brett Hollander back with you here on WBAL News Radio 1090, joined now by the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, John Manuel. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Brett.
Have you survived the Chris Bryant weekend? I know people in Baseball America land, their heads must have exploded with the buildup.
You know, we were excited about it. You know, obviously we had him as our number one prospect coming into the year. And that wasn't any knock on Byron Buxton, but, I mean, it was just you know, Chris Bryant, we do think, is going to be pretty special. So the hype definitely gets cranked up these days, but that's fun. I don't have a problem with hype. Hype can be fun, and he has enough talent to live up to it, so I'm not too worried about him at all.
The hype is good. To me, other sports have so much hype in their draft process. To me, baseball has it, I think, with diehard fans when it comes to certain prospects in certain markets. And it's an exciting aspect of the game. I think it's an unfair burden on some 18 to 24-year-old, especially in a baseball-hungry place like the north side of Chicago, and we'll see how Chris handles it long-term, and inevitably there will be a lot of failure. But do you think he's equipped to deal with it?
Oh, yeah. That's the best part for me, is that he's got the good face in scouting terms. He's got a good family. He's definitely ready to be. I actually think he's more equipped than anybody else, than the other hyped guys, whether it's a Buxton, a Strasburg, a Trout, a Bryce Harper. He's most equipped to handle the media glare. He's very grounded young guy. I'm got to know him a little bit over the winter meetings this year. I definitely think Chris Bryant is able to handle that media glare, and I think he understands that he's supposed to be the guy to lead the Chicago Cubs to a World Series for the first time in 100 years. And I think he's accepted that as part of what his job is. So, yeah, I think he's more than ready to do that kind of thing.
Interesting. We're talking to John Manuel from Baseball America, looking into the Orioles farm system right now. Let's actually start with maybe the most intriguing guy to me in the system right now, because of the story, although his future inside the organization, I guess, is somewhat gray. I talked to him last week. We had him on the show. But Pat Connaughton, the wonderful guard for Notre Dame basketball, had a big senior year, a big run in March, helping the Irish win the ACC title, nearly knocked off Kentucky in the Elite Eight. I want to know what kind of pitcher he is on the mound, John, and what his ceiling is in baseball, and then we can look into how uncertain the situation is with Pat, whether he decides a basketball career or a baseball career, or as he sees it, both.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had anyone do the two-sport thing in a while. And, you know, Pat Connaughton would not have been the guy that you thought would be the two-sport guy. He's a 6'5 wing shooter in basketball. But he had such a great senior season. I do understand why he wants to explore it. But I think, you know, it seems apparent from his actions that he prefers basketball. You know, if push came to shove, he'd love to be a basketball player. But I think he has always realized, or has realized for a long time, that his best earning potential is in baseball. And that's the sport where his athleticism is above average for a pitcher, and that's really where it stands out. He has good body control, and he's, you know, the scouts I've talked to about him always have said, this guy's got arm strength, he's got great size for a pitcher, he's athletic enough to really control those levers and repeat his delivery. And he's got life on the fastball that you just can't teach, or it's very hard to teach. So he's raw as a pitcher. His secondary stuff has a ways to go. And obviously, you know, you really won't know what you've got in him until they have him in their farm system, they have him on a starting pitcher's routine. You know, he's never really just been in a steady routine where baseball is only focused. So this might not be a guy who you see in the big leagues for 2 or 3 years. Once he commits to baseball full time, because he's going to have to get used to that routine, get used to that innings workload. But he does have a starter ceiling, and whether it's a number two, number three, four starter, I'm really not sure yet, because I don't think we know enough about him and what kind of secondary stuff he might have. But he's got a starting pitcher's body, starting pitcher's athleticism, and the ability to get swings and misses in the strike zone with his fastball, which is the number one thing you look for a starting pitcher. So there's a lot to like there. I like him as a basketball player, though. I'm no basketball scout, but that guy's he had a great senior season, and he could really shoot. And it's if he has NBA, if he displays to the NBA in some of these pre-draft workouts or these combines, if he has NBA range from three-point land, that's going to be a problem for the Orioles, because I think my sense is And I haven't spoken to him about it. My sense is he prefers basketball.
Right now, the Orioles are content with letting this thing play out and hoping he just comes to his senses, I think, as a lot of people see it. You watch a lot of basketball, John, so you're a Carolina guy, and if you think he's a good ball player, that is interesting. To me, though, he has said on the record and on this show that if it's between baseball and playing in Europe or playing the D-League, that is not a hard decision for him. I mean, he will pick
right.
baseball at that point.
Right, and that's the thing. The NBA lifestyle is different from the D-League or the European lifestyle.
Right.
And that's a big difference. But the NBA has a lot of allure to it, but the D-League does not. I've watched enough basketball to watch a D-League game. And I'm telling you, the atmosphere there is less attractive than it is in minor league baseball. And they're taking some rough bus rides and plane flights, too. And that's a tough lifestyle. And the European basketball lifestyle is a little bit tougher as well. So I've seen those interviews where he said, like, yeah, he'd rather do baseball than the non-NBA route. But I respect him for exploring it. I'll tell you this: he's got a higher ceiling than a guy like a Mark Hendrickson, who's been in a Orioles uniform at the big league level. Mark Hendrickson was drafted 6 times in baseball out of high school, then 4 years at Washington State because he played basketball at Washington State, and then even his 5th year out of Washington State, which is when he finally signed, playing in an amateur league in Southeast Pennsylvania, I believe called the Susquehanna League.
Mm.
And I did a story on him back in 1997 when he originally signed. And that's another example of a guy who I actually saw him play in the then Capital Center, might have been U.S. Airways Arena at that time,
yeah.
In the 1994 NCAA tournament for Washington State, playing for Kelvin Sampson, playing basketball. And they're somewhat similar stories, but obviously Hendrickson never was a big hard thrower, but he was left-handed. You know, Connaughton is a much better, in my mind, pitching prospect than Mark Hendrickson was, and Mark Hendrickson even played in the NBA before he finally got basketball out of his system and then came back to baseball, and he had a very long career. So Connaughton might wind up with that kind of odd career, but I think he's worth taking a chance on. I thought it was an astute pick last year by Baltimore. When you don't have a first-round pick or a second- or a third-round pick, they got a guy who had that kind of talent, and they got him in the 5th round.
Talking to John Manuel here on WBAL News Radio 1090. John, Dylan Bundy, he's pitched 3 innings in both starts. Pretty good results so far. But right now, his velocity, by all reports, it's down compared to why the Orioles drafted him and what we thought it was. He had the Tommy John surgery. Is this an oddity that his velocity has not come back yet?
No, it's not. It's really, I think it's just the misnomer of Tommy John surgery, where there was, I shouldn't say it's a myth, but there was just a lot of emphasis on a lot of the guys coming back from it throwing harder. And I think a part of that was, when you really talk to the pitching coaches and the doctors who were in charge of that, a lot of times it wasn't so much that the surgery made guys' arms stronger. They just got healthier and gotten better habits once they were back from Tommy John surgery and they were rehabbing. The rehab got their body stronger and their arms a little bit stronger, than their deliveries often improved because they were getting better instruction after their surgery. Well, none of those things were problems for Dylan Bundy. He was in incredible shape. He had a pretty good delivery. He just basically, we don't know why. There's not necessarily cause and effect for every pitcher's Tommy John surgery. So he didn't have a lot of improvement to make in terms of his delivery or his fitness. But those were the pluses that he had before he got hurt. So I kind of, and when you really think about it that way, I'm really not surprised that his velocity hasn't bounced back all the way. I'm disappointed for him, and I'm disappointed for the Orioles that it hasn't bounced back all the way. But I still think we're in a little bit of wait-and-see mode to see kind of what Dylan Bundy still is. But it's definitely not encouraging. I mean, you don't want to press the panic button. But this is what we talked in the preseason. Brett, this is why we did not have Dylan Bundy jacked up our prospect lists like some of our peers did, because we wanted to wait and see what he is. And I still hope that, he recaptures some of the past magic and that his stuff was different than the average bear. Right now he's kind of more just above average as opposed to special.
To be fair, he has had pretty good production so far, and he has touched
right.
94. It's not like he's throwing, 87 right now, but we'll wait and see. John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, with us for another few moments here on WBIL News Radio 1090. We've talked a lot about Alvarez and Christian Walker and Henry Urrutia. We'll save those guys for a little bit down the road. They're off to a mixed bag start right now for AAA Norfolk. I want to ask you about a catcher in Delmarva, a 20-year-old and a sixth-round pick for the Orioles back in 13. He's from Baltimore. He's out of Calvert Hall College, which has produced a lot of baseball players over the years in Baltimore. And it's Alex Murphy. And I really think the Orioles are loaded right now in the minor leagues with catchers. When you look at Chance Sisko and Alex Murphy, among others that the Orioles are very high on right now, which may make things very interesting in the Matt Wieters debate moving forward. Of course, Matt needs to get back out on the field and play, but moving forward, it could make things kind of interesting. All these guys several years away, but Murphy's off to a red-hot start in the South Atlantic League. Is he an intriguing guy to you?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he was a sixth-round pick, and they obviously spent some money on him. Again, the thoughts were that this was a guy who was a bat a little bit ahead of the defense. I know last year this is a guy where internally some of our comparisons on him were he might be almost a Chris Hoyles type. Mm. You know, might have that kind of power. It's a shorter, stockier, shouldn't say stockier, it's a shorter, more athletic body maybe than Chris Hoyles. He's listed at 5'11", but there's some strength there. So he has present strength, and that's what really kind of allows him to hold his own. He held his own last year at Aberdeen. Our notes from the New York Penn League on him last year were pretty positive offensively, but there's some work to do defensively, and that's where the comparisons came to Chris Hoyles, who was a bat first guy. But he does receive fairly well for his age group. I think he's still learning to handle the kind of velocity he's seeing in professional baseball on a consistent basis. And if you really focus on catching right now, I think 10 years ago, the number one thing scouts and pro clubs were looking for was arm strength in their catchers. That's how you lined them up tools-wise. I think receiving is ahead of arm strength these days, as you see more and more emphasis on pitch framing and the impact, how that's being quantified. And then you can see really the impact that a catcher's left hand, basically, what they do when they receive the ball, can you steal some strikes and help the pitchers? That seems a much more quantifiable advantage that a catcher can bring than the throwing arm and the arm strength, with the speed being a less part of the game and stolen bases being a muted part of the game today. So, we're really that's the thing to really watch with him. But I do think that Alex Murphy's an offense-first catcher, and if he can receive, he's going to be in this mix. He and Chance Sisko are two offensive-minded catchers that the Orioles got in the same draft class.
Interesting. John Manuel, we always appreciate it. We'll follow all these stories with you throughout the spring and summer. But great insight, and you can go back to your Chris Bryant watch now.
Thank you very much. I'm on it 24/7.
We'll come back with much more here on WBAL News Radio 1090.